Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you should find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our Wild Dove Luyu in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesdays. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft or Sewn Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, join Grey Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wild as he brings you Bad Company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturdays. Join Mistress Frost and Mr. M tonight as they bring you Black Lace Diaries. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron and Captain as the After Midnight Bombers. Fridays are split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturdays, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest at Props for All of Our Shows. Call in to read your poems, hang for the fun, or if you don't want to call in, drop in a SoundCloud, and we'll gladly play your voice. How you doing tonight, Pam?
I am doing great.
looking forward to hanging out with you and some other cool poets, whatever you call yourselves, and all that. And, you know, it's fun to be having a part two show. How are you doing?
Yeah, I forgot to mention, this is part two from last week of Show Us Your White Christmas in music that you want to bring to bear.
Absolutely.
Old, new, or mixed.
That's right. And we got a nice variety. We've got serious. We've got humorous. You know, just, like I said, a nice variety of Christmas music. Though I will say, in all honesty, I'm a person who limits her Christmas music exposure to a certain week, and that week is almost over. So I think any Christmas music played after tonight, I will not be around for. But like I said, we do have a nice variety of poetry, and it is cool that you were able to, you know, get two shows out of one contest. So that, like, made it a bit more, hopefully, of a relaxing Christmas weekend for you.
Well, it wasn't that. It was just, I thought, why go with trying to make somebody come up with something new during the hustle and bustle of Christmas week and such? So make it easy. Just bring us something to the table that you've ripped, and we'll have fun with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. For sure. And we've even got some parodies that hopefully we'll be hearing Rex sing. You know, so there's, or somebody else calls in. You know.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a blast.
I'm looking forward to it. You know,
I see Robbie's got his New Year's wish on the board. Hey, I want some of Penny.
Yep. That's actually a pretty funny show, Big Bang Theory. I like that line.
Are you listening, Robbie?
Yes, he is. He actually got off work early. And is able to spend some time listening, and you know, maybe he'll even call in and join us. You just never know.
Oh yeah, that would be a nice little bit of twist.
Yeah,
grab a beer or a coffee or whatever, and sit down for a bit, and give us a buzz there, Robbie. We'll be glad to have you on board.
Did you see the picture I posted of the wine glass that my daughter Nessa bought me for Christmas?
No.
She gave me a wine glass that says, "Be naughty. It saves Santa some work."
Is it plastic, so when you drop it, it doesn't break?
It's actually glass.
Well, I just figured she'd kind of think ahead. Well, let's make this one plastic. She can't break that.
Right. Probably should. She probably should have. You know, but I've used it to drink everything this weekend, from wine to beer to a mimosa this morning for breakfast. So, you know, I've been putting it to good use.
Mimosas, breakfast of champions.
That's right.
And hungover Bloody Marys.
Oh, yum. Yeah, I like Bloody Marys. There's actually, I tried this Bloody Mary recipe one time with, you make it with wasabi sauce, and it's like really freaking good. It clears up your sinuses.
Yes, and it also cleans out the other side when you let go. But a little warmly.
All right, well, what do you say, Rex? Shall we go ahead and get this party started?
Let's go for it.
All right.
Oh, I see Robbie's got on the board with you. He had a never-ending glass of wine last year.
Oh, there you go. That's too funny.
All right.
We have
God Rest Ye Weary Congressmen, parody by Way Down Upon Joy. God rest ye weary congressmen, let nothing you dismay. Remember that tranquility could be a vote away, and save us all from all that was before this power play. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. 'Twas many, many years ago our Bill of Rights was penned, and never ever left a clue that we might meet an end. Our perfect union could divide and we'd no condescend. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Is justice just another word for all that used to be? I'm hoping that we'd find peace that came with freedom's plea. Or need we now rewrite the laws for civil liberty? Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye weary congressmen, let nothing you dismay. Remember that tranquility could be a vote away, and save us all from all that was before this power play. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And poem and song, end of my histrionics. All right.
Well, I have to say, first of all,
yeah, that must
have
been real bad when you're not saying anything.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, your amazing singing just had me in such a moment of awe.
Oh, please.
No, seriously, your voice always does impress me, Rex. I do like giving you a hard time for sure, but, you know, you really are just your voice. I don't know. I'm sorry, but I just really find your singing voice amazing. But this here, I mean, as I always say, spot on parody. What I think really helped with making this a great parody is that she kept the original lines, oh, tidings of comfort and joy, you know, and so that kind of adds to the it being able to flow with a nice rhythm. But because this, you know, it has a bite to it, like a sardonic bite, because, you know, God rest ye weary congressman just has that, it comes across to me as being that kind of sarcastic tone, because the congressmen are taking, the Congress takes too many days off for themselves, or, you know, the whole idea of, you know, what can we get out of it for us? And so that, and by that, you know, the tidings of comfort and joy comes across with a bite to it, even though it was really meant originally to offer comfort and joy. Here it, you know, has this whole feel of telling someone to get off their ass. And this is great all the way through, you know, but what I really particularly like is that third stanza, where it asks, you know, is justice just another word for all that used to be? You know, I like that she takes a look back, you know, and takes a look at how the idea of freedom and civil liberties has changed. So really just a wonderful, thought-provoking, right, fun, creative, and a great parody. It's very well done.
I agree with that. It's definitely, I'd go ahead and say deeply sarcastic, because, you know, like you said, it's not like they actually do anything while they're there anyway. Except whine, bitch, and moan, and hey, you need to pay. You guys, people need to pay for my schooling. Hey, I chose to take on the $200,000 debt, but I don't deserve to pay for it. Yeah. Is that why you're in Congress now instead of practicing law? Because you can't actually practice law? Maybe you shouldn't have done it in the first place. Yeah, I'll go with the thought of it's deeply sarcastic, noting the tone of ease, God rest ye weary congressman. Yeah, it's like they're not resting enough to begin with. Joy, that was a pleasure. And nicely ironic as a Christmas plea for the congressman, God rest them peace. Maybe they rest in peace instead. That'd be a nice tiding. Hey, let's fill up the bus and push them over the cliff. We need a better thing
there
come
you
the
go.
New year.
I like that thought, Rex. So.
All right. Where might we be going next? Or should I?
I figured I should let Robbie know that he thought perhaps tonight was all Christmas parodies, and I said thankfully not all parodies, because otherwise people would be listening to me sing, or you'd be just, well, we basically just have an entire show of Rex singing, and I think that would tear him up. This one is not a parody. So I'll go ahead and give it a read.
Actually, it is. You got to read down the bottom. God rest ye merry gentlemen, parody.
One day have your soul prepared to meet me. Shall ye roam? Rival upon your phone call. No, it is not a parody. But you know what? If you prove me wrong, you go ahead, you sing it.
God rest ye all my children by Brother Jacob. God rest ye all my children. Do not fear nor dismay. For I shall return, I'm coming back one day. Have your souls prepared to meet me, no longer shall ye roam, for I will be calling ye home, calling ye home, for I will be calling ye home. God rest ye, all my children, do not fear nor dismay, for I shall return, I'm coming back one day. I defeated Satan's power, and I rose from the grave. Turn to me, and you shall be saved. Shall be saved. Turn to me and ye shall be saved. In Bethlehem, Israel, Jesus Christ was born to bring comfort to us all of us who mourn. Not only that, he redeemed our souls with his precious blood. He gave us his unending love, unending love. He gave us his unending love. Fear ye not, my children. No matter what you see, I'll always stand beside you. Put your faith in me. Is there anything I can't do, nor my hand perform? For I am the anchor in the storm, in the storm. For I am the anchor in the storm. God rest ye, all my children. Do not fear nor dismay, for I shall return. I'm coming back one day. Have your souls prepared to meet me. No longer shall ye roam. For I will be calling ye home, for I will be calling ye home. Well, that was a little bit of a butcher. Sorry about that, Jacob. And Paul.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did better with the first one.
That's you do better with the first one because this one wasn't as much of a parody. But
it walked a little outside the tempo, but kept the same pace and basic scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True that. But great singing there, Rex. And this is a wonderful right. I really like how, I really like how it kept the spiritual tone of the original song, and also like kind of to speaks of you know the calling home, you know, and let's see, so just really a nice Christmas message to it. He mixes in some of like the last poem, some of the original lyrics, you know, with some of his own touches, you know, and I like how it's written in the first person perspective, as if it's as Christ himself were speaking to his own followers. So, like I said, great spiritual right and very well done.
Absolutely. That was the draw coming out of this, offering up that that return thought once more for those who have maybe lost the tone of that, the thought to begin it, or who walked outside of of actually praying to God in Christ. So it's kind of a message, you know, remember what once was and what shall be once more. And the general message being, you might have forgotten me in the meantime, but I am still here and I shall welcome ye home when the time is right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. I have to say, you know, I was thinking that one of the things I forgot to say in my comment, and I really like what you had to say, was that out of all these lines, the part that particularly stood out for me is the line that says, "For I am the anchor in the storm, in the storm, I am the anchor in the storm." Because it very much makes me think of that, the Bible story where the storm starts and the apostles are all panicking because they're all in the boat together. And then Jesus is sleeping, and they're all like, "How can you sleep during this?" And then, you know, he puts he causes the storm to stop by just by speaking. So, yeah, you know, like I said, you know, this is a great write, but all the way through. But that was particularly the line stood out and spoke to me the most, because you know, it can be trying times. But all right, so I'm guessing that if I put up a third parody for you to sing, probably not a good idea yet. You probably need a bit of a break.
Three in a row?
No. Three in a row, yes. Is this one a spot up? Is a parody? It says parody. I don't know. But anyways, it says parody, and therefore I will get back to it. I will go. I will grab something that that I can read. All right. I know. Wouldn't it be funny if every right was a parody? We definitely have to have somebody else call in. All right.
And Delvin's back. They might actually have to sing something. I don't think they'd like that.
Oh, too funny. All right. Up next, we have The Christmas Song by Eric Sensen. And it goes like this. Kick back, relax, turn up the stereo. Velvety voice sings at leisurely pace. Nat King Cole transports to a listener to a sublime space. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Folks gather in the historical center of Modena, Italy. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Bon Natalie echoes between buildings centuries old. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. Pavarotti's hometown plays songs on hidden speakers. And folks dressed up like Eskimos, Italian children gather snowballs, chitter-chatter sparkles, Italian pizza pizzazz and panache, dressed to the nines. Enchanted aperitivo, hour draws near, gentle snowflakes cartwheel down. Lovers kiss between arches while window shoppers meander merrily by. Tangible peace and goodwill smiles welcome foreigners into its Le Dolce Vitae Christmas fold. With Nat King Cole, a Southern poet sends a happy holidays greetings. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 93. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. End poem.
Great read, Pam. This is a bit different from Eric. Nicely straightforward with a right message going in. I kick out the right thing, Nat King Cole. Kick back, relax, turn up the stereo. Velvety voice sings at leisurely pace. Nat King Cole transports a listener to a sublime space. And that's where you get into the thought of what ranges down from there. Because it's a nice scene setting. Chestnuts roasting on open fire, Modena, Italy. Also referring to the song, plus Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Another nice touch there. And then sort of a Yuletide carols, but with an enchanted aperitivo, our draws near. It's a nice, yes, it's Christmas time. Let's have a bit of cheer and a nip while we're here. And the Italian pizza, pizzazz and panache, I like that line itself, which is kind of funny. Like, pizza is actually a Chinese concoction from way back when. Now, the back of this, I like the last ending. The kids from 193, although it's been said many, many, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. It was a nice touch to finish out. Just a nice bit of joyous Christmas thought from Eric. Well done, Eric. What about you? You got to read it.
Yes, and I have to say the one thing that particularly stands out about this is that it didn't come with a SoundCloud. And, you know, the thing is Eric's got such a distinct voice that anytime I'm reading his poetry, I just automatically start hearing that. Who is it that he sounds like? The guy, Alfred Hitchcock. He sounds like Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, if he's listening now, he might pop in the room and say, what the hell do you mean, Alfred Hitchcock?
He does. Okay, well, to me, he does. But what I really like, I like this all the way through, and I like the parts you pointed out, like how that the pizza pizzazz and panache and the ending with the lyrics from the song. But I also really like the way he started. I like how he incorporated different songs and different musicians, like Jack Frost, Nipping at Your Nose, and he mentions the opera singer Pavarotti. And, yeah, I like, but to me what really stands out is that he opens it up with kick back, relax, turn up the stereo. I think too oftentimes, I can't speak for other countries, but I know particularly too oftentimes in America we tend to make the holidays too stressful on ourselves. We really too often don't take time to relax until after the holidays are over. And so with those opening lines and within the song lines like Chestnuts Roasting and, you know, the mention of the hidden speakers and listening to the music, he lets us know that the holidays are meant to find a sense of peace, a sense of harmony, you know, a sense of, you know, spending time with family, but not letting it stress us out. So I thought this was just a wonderful write and very well done.
What we got next?
Okie dokie, Smokey, we have Blue Christmas Parody by Sonia3902Z. And that is yours.
Oh, I don't remember the tune to this one. We'll be having a blue, Blue Christmas by Sonia3902Z. We'll be having a blue Christmas without you. Elvis will be so blue just thinking about you. Mrs. Claus decorates with tears on our green tree. Won't be the same, dear Elvis, without you. Wishing you would stay forever, true blue. And when those sad snowflakes start falling, that's when those memories cause us bawling. You'll be doing all right with monochromatic weather, as Mrs. Claus and I will be wearing ugly Christmas sweaters, while we will have a blue, blue, blue Christmas. Hurry back to the North Pole with your smile, where we all be happy during the Yule time for a while. And fun.
Great read there, Rex.
Yes.
All right. I was thinking you could have just made it tune up and it would have been fine. But I really like this. I like that it's a personal tribute to Elvis, and that it kind of takes us back to when Elvis died. You know, like you could just – I like that it combines, you know, the idea of missing Elvis – with a story about Santa and the elves and Mrs. Claus. Mrs. Claus decorates with tears on her green tree. Won't be the same, dear Elvis, without you. Wishing you would stay forever true blue. I like that it becomes playful in that last stanza. With the idea of, hurrying back to the North Pole. I remember what contest this was written for. I wrote the same contest. Okay, cool. I just realized that. Huh. All right, well, I have to say, though, out of all the parts, the one that really made me smile is the mention of Mrs. Claus and I will be wearing ugly Christmas sweaters while we will have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. So that's some clever lines and very well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Even Santa needs a little bit of joy during Christmas. And Mrs. Claus, I think she's got the hot for me. She likes to wiggle. She likes to wiggle in the rock and roll. She likes to wiggle.
Oh, my gosh, too funny.
Well, why not? This was a good bit of fun. I enjoyed it. And why not? Elvis at North Pole doing some singing and dancing, getting everybody in the mood to roll out the season. Get the production up to par.
So did you actually do...
This was a nice piece. The what?
Sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean... I got just... Sorry. Didn't mean to talk over you.
I was done.
Oh, okay. Great comment there. I was going to say, if you click on the contest it was originally written for, that was done by Rich F., it was written to this cartoon where Santa's sitting at his desk and there's a Elvis impersonator at his desk and Santa's talking to Rudolph and is saying, what exactly did you put in the recruitment ad? And the ad that Rudolph is holding says, Santa needs Elvis.
I remember that cartoon.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an old, that's going way back. I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, that was funny. And this was definitely some great humor by Sonia. I really appreciate that.
All right. What we got next?
All right. Up next we have Sing It, Brenda Lee by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. Back when I was a kid in the 60s, I was dragged along to yet another family Christmas thing at someone's house. I watched my folks fiercely fight over some lady's blouse that was cut too low. I heard my cousin Dot in her room, distraught and alone, weeping after having just returned from that teen girl proverbial running away from home thing. Hey, I'm just here being appropriately unseen. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. We never did any of that, but sing it, Brenda, nonetheless. People talking, laughing, coughing, smoking cigarettes, drinking booze, and the music, oh, the music. Mostly obnoxious plastic people who I didn't even that night recognize as my relatives. But it would not be Christmas if Brenda Lee was not rocking around our Christmas tree. I walked into the bathroom and saw a sexy and single Miss Stone, and not alone, but kissing my dad. I closed that door fast. Dad felt even more sad that they hadn't even noticed me. Finding truths I didn't want and losing my childhood all in the same musical night was a mighty fight for me not to cry. Despite that night years ago, this song still makes me want pumpkin pie. End poem.
Well, there was a good bit of ending to that. Yeah, I still want me some of that pumpkin pie. Boy, what a... This was, I guess, Christmas in the jungle of all the mad family things that we can get into. But dad and the neighbor, oh, yeah, didn't even notice. Ah, go ahead, shut the door. That's okay. We're busy. And what else? Maybe they didn't notice because you had a nice touch in there about drinking views and the music. Oh, the music. But I felt mostly obnoxious plastic people who I didn't even that night recognize as my relatives. Ooh, boy, that sounds like one hell of a rock and robin party, so to speak. And what else did that mean? And then finding truths I didn't want, losing my childhood all in the same musical night was a mighty fight for me not to cry. Oof. Talk about coming of age in an atmosphere that kind of sucks to begin with, because you spent all evening trying to hide from everybody, and reality catches up in one fell swoop. Yet, you still remember the pumpkin pie and the music, because it delivers the scenery and the flavors all in one go.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, she was
someone
actually
else might
in
say, place. Damn you, Brenda Lee, I don't never want to hear your voice no more.
But she still looks, you know, and well, that's the thing, you know, sometimes despite how holidays turn out, you still, at least if nothing else, can appreciate the music. So, but yeah, I like how you refer to this, point out that it's a coming of age story. This actually, it makes me think about, well, yesterday at Christmas, you know, we were all drinking some wine, and I asked my daughter Nessa if she wanted to try a sip, and she said no, and because I don't know why she said no, but she did, and then I was joking around, I was like, but back when I was your age, but yeah, back in, you know, the Hicksville, middle of the woods where I grew up, kids were always getting sips, beer, wine, whatever, you know, whatever we could sneak. But obviously she's a much better girl than her mother was at 13. So, but I really like how she brings us in to a family that, you know, a really just raw, honest look at a family that is far from perfect, and a family who goes through the ups and downs, the dramas. I like how she brings in the imagery of people talking, laughing, coughing, smoking cigarettes, drinking booze, and the music. Oh, the music. Mostly obnoxious plastic people I didn't even that night recognize as my relatives. But, you know, I like that she reminds us that no matter what's going on around us, we can just really find time to enjoy the music, and if nothing else, enjoy the pumpkin pie. So, very, very good write.
All righty then.
Guns and Roses, time to rock out. All right. Up next we have Get Resty, Weary Gelderman by Daniel Ricketts. And that's all yours.
Oh, another parody. Get Resty, Weary Gelderman by Daniel Ricketts. No rest for weary fat old men. Our wives will shop all day. They'll buy for folks we hardly know, and we're the ones who'll pay. We'll sit and watch while screaming kids get presents anyway. Oh, seasons of hassle, waste and woe, money they blow, are once again our wives spend all our dough. And Paul.
Oh my gosh, that cracks me up. And another great scene, Rex. Oh my gosh. This reminds me of many Christmases ago when, before I had kids, but I was living with my stepsister and her husband, and they had three kids at the time. and we were all doing Christmas shopping together, and at Walmart. That's really where we were at, Walmart. And the my brother-in-law was getting so freaking tired and so frustrated with me and my stepsister, you know, taking so long to shop, that he picked up this giant, like the most giant candle I've ever seen in my life, and said, just get everybody one of these. And my stepsister said, and what should we get as candle holders? Fucking toilet seats? Oops, sorry, didn't mean the French word. Sorry about that. But that's the true-to-the-word story. And that's the kind of frustration that comes out in this kind of song, is being the man who has to watch the screaming kids, getting their money anyways, their money being blown away, perfect spot-on rhyme and flow, a great parody, you know, especially considering that he really didn't put in a whole lot of lines, like he just parodied the whatever you call it, the chorus. I thought that was really cool. And then I like how he refers to it, seasons of hassle, waste, and woe. So very cool and very well done.
Yes, another well-done parody, but I like the title. Get Rest Ye Weary Gelded Men. Boy, does that have a loaded title for gelded men. That means you've been snipped. There's no nutters left for the charbroiling. They've been snipped, and you've been taken. Now you have to sit quietly and behave while everything else goes on around you. And yeah, the kids are part of that because you have nothing left. You do as you're bloody well told in the moment. And meanwhile, you get to watch 4 or 5 hours, maybe more, of just pure madness, because they never know what they want when they go in the store and they come out with something different than what they actually thought they were going for in the first place. And then you're left to carry all the bags, including the wives.
Well, what can I say? That's too funny. I actually did not even pick up on that it was gelded. You know, for some reason I was missing that extra D, and so I read it as Gelderman, which I really didn't know what a Gelderman was, but I figured somebody would. So, but you're right, yeah.
Yes, it's the good reference for the wives having the old silk sack in their purse permanently. More reattached.
Well, somebody has to keep them safe.
Yeah, they're useless once they've been snipped.
Yes, but they make such lovely earrings. All right. All right, great right there by Daniel Ricketts. And up next we have Christmas Day by Robert Lust. And it goes like this. Dashing down the stairs. Oh, that's actually a parody, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Damn it. Okay, tell you what, just plug your ears and I'll go ahead and sing this one as best I can. All right. Dashing down the stairs, running all the way. Oh, what fun it is to know today is Christmas Day. My heart is pumping fast. I dash up to our tree. Oh, what fun it is to learn what gifts are there for me. Christmas Day, Christmas Day, Christmas Day is here. Oh, what fun it is to know that Christmas Day is here. End poem.
See, that works. Actually, that worked as a parody for the for that part of the from the third stanza. He wrote it as an insert instead of the third stanza from Jingle Bells itself, so I like that thought. Not to mention, yeah, this one's all about me. My Christmas. Which drops in a nice bit of humor with it. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to actually sing that one for a change.
Yes, 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 because I was caught off guard, damn it. Oh, well, you know, it was another great parody, you know, just honest to goodness, I do enjoy parodies. I don't like my own singing voice, but I do very much enjoy parodies. I like seeing how people have fun. And what I particularly like about this one, besides the fact that it was a nice and short poem, is that it was from the perspective of a child who was rushing downstairs to see what kind of gifts were delivered. You know, it had the kind of that childlike enthusiasm that made me, it makes me think of that movie, A Christmas Story, with Ralphie and looking forward to getting his BB gun. And, you know, it just had that kind of vibrancy and enthusiasm to it. So I thought it was very well done.
Alrighty, what we got coming up next? Refresh.
Let's see, what do we got next? Oh, hold on.
Sorry,
I got that. I think I actually forgot to grab the next one. Hold on, I was distracted. By Shiny Things. I was distracted by Shiny Things. Ah.
Yeah, like them hair earrings.
Yeah, exactly. I dip them in glitter before I put in the hooks and hang them for my ears, so they're all Christmassy. Oh no, okay, I'm really sorry. Why don't you go ahead and grab the poem by Keith D. Langford, the 12 Days of Christmas one, the one that was, it's On the First Day of Christmas, that's what it's called. Oh, here, actually, I got it. All right. Oh, come on. All right, now I should have it.
All right.
All right. Doo-doo-doo. Everything's being so slow. All right. Finally. All right. I keep saying all right like this. Digit.
What are you doing?
I don't even know by this point.
Well, you told me to post it. I already posted it.
Oh, well, why didn't you freaking say something? I couldn't see. Okay. Go ahead and give that a read, Rex. Sorry.
On the First Day of Christmas by Keith D. Langford. On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two new LEDs and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the third day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 horn honkings, 4 new LEDs and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, 8 new LEDs and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 1 stolen package, tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, 16 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 1 window tapping, 1 stolen package, tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, 32 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honking, 64 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me one broken door lock, two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, no new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me loosened lug nuts, one broken door lock, two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honking sirens in the night, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me metal shavings in my oil, loosened lug nuts, one broken door lock, two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honking, 11 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me one funeral notice, metal shavings in my oil, loosened lug nuts, one broken door lock, two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, 13 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me twin flat tires, one funeral notice, metal shavings in my oil, loosened lug nuts, one broken door lock, two neighbors staring, one window tapping, one stolen package tampered with food, 12 horn honkings, 11 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. Community policing and the FBI, Homeland Security for you and me. In America again, organized stalking, community policing in America. And Paul.
Oh, that was great, Rex. That was great. Awesome singing there. This was fun and clever. This actually kind of reminds me of some of the people I used to meet at the bus station, the bus stop in Austin, Texas, like the city, the city bus. I remember like one time a guy coming up to me with a box full of car parts and saying he was trying to return them to a store and that he didn't have a receipt and they wouldn't give him his money, and asked if I could go get his money for him. Of course, I said no. I really like how this just is like a long list of that white trash wish list. I like how like the original song he builds up. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me one window taping, one stolen package, tampered with food, 12-hour horns honking, 32 new LEDs, and a watch listing with Homeland Security. This has wonderful, dark, twisted humor. And for some reason, while I was listening to you sing this song, it made me think of the Christmas where my mom stopped by with gifts for the kids, and in the bag that she had Jaren's gifts in was a box of tampons. And so when he pulled out the box of tampons, we took his picture with it because we thought, what other four-year-old boy at this moment is getting a box of feminine personal items? You know, so obviously this is a Christmas moment that must be captured. But I really enjoyed this one. And, you know, like a wonderful parody, great humor. And like I say, I never get sick of listening to you sing, Rex. I just love it. So this was very well done.
Well, funny part is this is kind of hits on that note of coming to America, security measures, and your neighbors, they watch. I like that thought with a watch listing with Homeland Security. It sets the pace for everything that's dropped in here, even the tidbits with the rolling thought to the LEDs going from 2 to 8 and then 16, and just to Ben Nunn to finish out with, what was it? Finish out with 11 new LEDs. So it had a nice rolling tone of more lights to no lights. Hey, they're coming for you. And I didn't, it took me a bit to get to that thought of using the five golden ring thought with the one stolen package. But then that actually, when I hit that, it actually kind of rolled a bit better for me.
Yeah. Yep. I have to agree. And I like how you brought up the idea, always the being watched, the whole, like just the thought I had as I was listening to your comment, is that Big Brother's watching idea. But also, and the whole idea when you bring up more lights, it makes me think of, what was that, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Was that the movie where the father was always trying to compete with the neighbors and get more and more lights?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, when you were commenting, your comment made me think of that. So, very cool, right? All right.
Okay, what we got next?
It's Christmas Hallelujah by Jaskaran. And... here we go. We have a SoundCloud.
It's Christmas. Hallelujah. It's another season. It's a feeling. Children are happy. Red, green, blue, light, green. On final mirror is extra spirit. Holding a wife's hand by doing the test. Applauding an auntie. A child very excited. The feeling. When thy neighbor gives everything bodily. And first, how is that going? I call you sir. I tell my wife. I can't have one wife. But then, she and this is a good baby. It's Christmas. Hallelujah. It's Christmas. Hallelujah. There is endless or bitter past. Sir, with the shield again. And turn it into tending food. In the all you need is love.
Great read, Jaskaran. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what you got?
Yeah, absolutely. We always appreciate SoundCloud. It's nice to hear the poet's own voice. And what I really enjoyed this. It had great humor to it. I thought it was just absolutely delightful. I like how it has a really celebratory tone with using the word hallelujah and using the exclamation points in the beginning. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas hallelujah. It's Christmas hallelujah. Another thing I really like about Jaskaran's poetry, and I think I brought this up before, is he does something similar with some of his stanzas, and what you sometimes do, Rex, is that by all, moving the line, making the lines within a stanza form and move in such a way that it becomes visually appealing. And I find that it's particularly so with the second stanza that brings to us the imagery of the traditions of going to church, of holding the wife's hand, of going to the ballet recitals and everything going on. But the most enjoyable part and the most relatable part to this is how, the stanza after that with when thy neighbor grins at your bulging potbelly and smirks, how's the diet going? And you say in I coyly slur, I tell my wife, I cannot have one more bite, but then she unleashes the cookies. And I remember this was being commented on in another show, and somebody, I think it was a Faziana, and I had to agree with her, that it was just really great that he used, he chose to use the word unleashes. Like, it really added to the humor of the poem rather than just saying she set out the cookies or she offered me some cookies. She unleashes the cookies, as if the cookies were, like, part of her plot or part of, you know, everything that was out to kill his plans for dieting. So just a really clever write and very well done.
Well said. Yeah, that was a nice touch with that opening two lines and that second stanza, but the third one had a lot of humor in it. And I like the back end of the last stanza. Let the tenderness of your bitter past stir with luscious legumes and churn it into a tempting smoothie to revel in the future. Is that sort of, all right, now that Christmas is over, no more cookies. I've got to eat the healthier end and let the diet actually take over with the smoothie angle and the legumes to help with that dieting.
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. Yeah, that ending stanza was quite the visuals there. I will say that. It made me think of some horrific, like, green smoothies.
Yeah, that is be it a warm one or a cold smoothie.
Oh, man, right? Exactly. All right, are we ready for the next write?
Sure.
Okie dokie. This is A Christmas Carol by Lawrence 67. All right. Okay, well, I guess since there's two speaking parts, all right, do you want to be Nigel or do you want to be Elsie?
Oh, I got a choice. Usually I get both of them.
No, we'll go back and forth. It'll be fun. You choose. You be Nigel.
All right, Nigel. All right, A Christmas Carol. The Adventures of Nigel, Fat Cat, and his homie, Alfie, in A Christmas Carol. La 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 la, Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
Hey, Nigel, what you doing?
I'm warming up. I'm going to sing a song for that rhythm and rhyme contest. La 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 la.
But, Nigel, you don't know how to sing.
Do too.
The last time you sang on top of the fence post, old lady Crawford hit you with a shoe, remember?
Ah, that old bag was tone deaf.
But Nigel, you only know one song, and it's not a Christmas song.
That's all right. They won't know.
Rex will know. He knows everything.
Look, Alfie, all we got to do is title a song A Christmas Carol. Now be quiet. I'm going to sing my song. Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, shit. Here comes the shoe.
Bam. A Pam Ray shoe upside the head. Bam. And boom.
See, I told you it'd be fun.
Oh, yeah,
you
old
want
lady
me to comment first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, no, I enjoyed this. I thought it was a clever write. Obviously, the adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Elfie are a series that he has going on. See, he has a list of about 76 or what is that number? 78 of them. I did think it was nice to read it back and forth to give each character a voice. I like the way this has great humor put into it. I do have to absolutely agree with the lines, that they won't know. Well, Rex will know. He knows everything. I thought that was a really nice nod to you. I couldn't help but think of the Meow Mix song, meow 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 meow, with those that singing, or the whole way cats howl when they're like in heat. I think it was a clever and fun write and very well done.
Yep. I like the Nigel and Alfie. You see, Nigel's a fat cat, and Alfie is his pet. I think it's a retriever. Well, not his pet, his pal retriever. So it's the dog and cat motif, which works well because he does make these funny. And this one's just another one of those. There is a nice tone to this. Typically you sit on a fence in somebody's backyard, somebody's going to toss a shoe at you.
Ow. Right. Oh man.
Maybe next time you get Alfie to sing, go arf arf arf.
Right? That's what he'd be singing like. That was my hound dog impression. Did I scare you away with my hound dog impression?
Oh, Robbie, that's real good. Yes, I got the meow meow.
Yep. I know, I saw that. I was going to point that out, yeah. Who knew that tonight Rex would be singing meow, 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 meow? Oh, my gosh. All right. And speaking of singing, up next we have The 12 Days of COVID by Gary Rubin. And go ahead, Rex. I promise it's not as long as the last one.
Oh, this one's actually The 12 Days of COVID by Gary Rubin. On the 12th day of COVID, my true love sent to me 12 long-haul symptoms, 11 pointless prescriptions, 10 fever spiking, 9 nightmares napping, 8 ways of sulking, 7 social tracing, 6 days of praying, 5 swollen glands, 4 infected friends, 3 vaccine shots, 2 rapid home tests, and a sore throat coughing, and a sore throat coughing. And boom. Nicely done, Gary. That kind of hits the right spot.
It truly does. It truly does. And I really enjoyed this. I like, it was a great short parody. Great humor, again. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I liked that he stretched out the 5, like in the original, like 5 golden rings. 5 swollen glands. That was perfect. And then you're translating the cough, cough, cough into actual coughing was a great call on your part, Rex. It's just great all the way through. 9 nightmare napping, 8 ways of sulking, 7 social tracing, 6 days of praying, 2 rapid home tests. I mean, man, it's just one of those parodies that you could repeat the whole thing because it's all just too clever and very well done.
Oh, absolutely. This was funny. Well, considering, but it is funny. It pokes at the novice angle and how everybody's, well, not everybody, how some are taking this way to the point where it kind of scrapes at the binds of normality, especially medial. Oh, yes, we're all going to die today. It's here. Meanwhile, nobody's dying. So, yes, and which one do we have tomorrow? It's like we've had all the variants, yet they don't even have the original, so they can actually find out, ah, is this within the same family or is this something new?
Exactly. Well said there, Rex. All right. All right. Up next we have Santa Claus is Slimming It Down. And this was
another parody.
It is, isn't it? Well, I should know that says parody. I was thinking because it was originally written for a holiday rap, right? That it was a rap, but you know, obviously, right? Okay. Well, I'll go ahead. What the hell? Just plug your ears. All right. This is Santa Claus is Slimming It Down by T-Stitch. And it goes like this. You've seen him stretch out. You've seen him get spry. It's yoga, no doubt. The dude won't it deny. Santa Claus is slimming it down. Too fat, he insists. He's paying the price. He wants to slide down the chimney like ice. Santa Claus is slimming it down. It's easier for peeping. That belly used to quake. Yeah, he knows he's bad, but he's feeling good. Ho, ho, Mom won't even wait. Oh, she better watch out. He's going to creep nigh and fiddle about and touch her, no lie. Santa's ego's brimming. Santa wants some trimming. Santa Claus is slimming it down. You've seen him stretch out. You've seen him get spry. It's yoga, no doubt. That dog won't deny. Santa Claus is slimming it down. He's doing the twist. He's rolling the dice. He's going to sneak up on mama like mice. Santa Claus is slimming it down. But you can go on sleeping. Don't lie in fear awake. Because it's only Dad that's underneath that hood trying to feed poor Mom the snake. Oh, she better not pout. He's going to creep nigh and hope she puts out that old college try. Santa's loins are brimming. Santa Claus craves Mom's trimming. Santa Claus is one horny clown. Sorry, that didn't rhyme. Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't think you were going to make it through that last stanza.
I barely.
There's a reason for the trimming down, and it's feeding Mama the snake. you've actually, that one, nobody expected that last stanza, but it was well played. Nicely done. Talk about sneaking a little goodie in the stocking there for Christmas. Yes, it's salami time.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, he wants to slide down that chimney like ass. Yeah, all of the upstairs language should have kind of led the way, but I didn't get it until down the bottom. I looked, oh, nice. Now we know where you're going.
Right?
All right, you get to comment now that you've read it and choked up on
that.
Yeah. The snake of mama.
The funny thing is I had read this one last year because it was a contest that Afasiana Dexter and I had ran where we wanted people to, you know, write, song parodies or raps to wrapping paper. And, you know, but I had completely forgotten. And it was, again, a wonderful parody, great humor. And there were those little tidbits of a hint. But what I really like is that it's a parody of Santa Claus is Coming to Town and a really great one. But it also touches on the song I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus, but obviously this time Santa Claus was doing a little bit more than kissing. And, you know, and like you said, I got to that end stanza and I really just had a hard time with not cracking up laughing, especially like when it starts right away. But you can go on sleeping, don't lie in fear awake, because it's only Dad underneath that hood trying to feed poor Mom the snake. Oh my gosh, that freaking cracked me up. It was a great write and very well done.
Yeah, old Santa wanted to do the tube snake boogie.
Exactly. Oh, man. But, yeah, there was actually some really fun writes in that contest that I had enjoyed. All right. And I believe I grabbed the next poem. Let me check. Or was I too busy laughing? Oh, I did grab the next one. All right. Up next we have Paris Drunk in Pink by Whirlpool Memories. And go ahead and give that a read for us, Rex.
As soon as it shows up. Ah, there it is. Paris Drunk in Pink by Whirlpool Memories. I dream of Paris, drunk in colors of pink and warm, soft hues of gold and blue. The leaves, they fall, they waltz and dance among feathers white, in a wind, their guide. Then a pitter, then a patter, then a lightning trembling Paris's every cafe. The leaves, the feathers, they dance no more, but float in waters that they have always known. Morning comes as night is forgot, and crooners croon, and painters paint, and the glamour of the Tour Eiffel is captured through, as cafes brew, and tourists walk, over stories told, over stories untold, and the struggles of the night before make today's sky so clear and oh so blue. And poem. What you got?
Well, first of all, great read, Rex. I like the title and I like the poem. I am having trouble connecting it to any sort of a Christmas song, but it still kind of fits the spirit of the show, in that I feel like it's all about, you know, like a sense of a celebration and overdoing it. You know, the it's Paris Drunk in Pink. You know, you not only think of the city Paris, but Paris Hilton. It makes me think that, even though I know it's obviously that it's about the being in the city of Paris, but you still can't help but think, at least me, of somebody who is over exuberant with their celebrating. I really like as cafes brew and tourists walk, over stories told, over stories untold, and the struggles of the night before make today's sky so clear and oh so blue. I like that it almost has a feeling of taking you back in time to the artist Toulouse was around, and the idea of the Paris cafes or the places like the Moulin Rouge. It just kind of has that feel to it to me. So a wonderful write and very well done.
Well said. Paris Drunk in Pink kind of offers up that thought to softer times, more colorful times, the 20s and the 30s before all hell broke loose, when you had the breadth and width of Paris alive with everybody, the likes of so many great artists and poets back in the day, plus writers, and it was a nice congregation of mental genius in the moment, all alive in one arena. That kind of gives out those drunken colors of pink, the thought of a warm soft hues, the different touches of each individual that flowed in Paris, lived in Paris, painted of Paris and wrote of Paris. It hits on those notions of spending times in those sidewalk cafes, the bluster, arguments, the conversations, the trembling of thoughts across from one to the other and tearing it apart and going through it. Just having the times of their lives, so to speak. It really goes back to a day when Paris was alive with the thought of what was possible with the idea of so much brain power in one arena all at once. Because you had Picasso out that way. You had, who else? Now I can't think of nobody. The Dadaism started out in Paris, so you had Dali out there. You had a ton of ingenuity and mental prowess all in one place. I mean, even Hemingway was out there too, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember actually that being mentioned before, that we were talking about that on another show, about how Hemingway spent some time in Paris. He was a rather...
Well, he was an ambulance driver for World War One.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah, that's right. You did mention that before, yeah, that he had been an ambulance driver. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, he was definitely, like I said, an interesting character. Had a lot of stuff he did, definitely. Was he the one that enjoyed the cigars and the bourbon or something like that?
Nah, they would have been doing a wormwood collar. The green stuff. Before it was outlawed.
Ah, the green fairies. All right. And I'll go ahead and I put the next poem up, and I'll give it a read. This is a song by Rajmoy Fukan, and it goes like this. I fly, I fly, I fly, I fly away towards the bright sky. Oh, the one who gave me wings, for you my heart sings. I pray, I pray, I pray, I pray for the one who stays away. Oh, I love you deeply and long, the one whom I wrote this song. I write, the one whom I write this song and poem.
Nicely read, Pam. Thank you very much. Kind of get a touch of spirituality in that first stanza. I fly away towards the bright sky. Oh, the one who gave me wings, for you my heart sings. There's that notation of breathing freely in that knowledge. And then back end too, I pray for the one who stays away. I love you deeply and long, the one whom I write this song. Then there's that notation of praying for those who do stay away from and don't indulge themselves so that they can actually feel this... not worldly, but full spiritually. What about you?
Well, it's funny you said the first part of your comment was definitely, as while I was reading it, I was thinking that especially with the first stanza and the first line of the second stanza, there was a real spiritual feel to this. And that it was a poem that worked on really well on a dual level, in the idea that it was offering up your heart, your voice to a higher power, but that it also spoke of perhaps of loving a person, loving a person who's far away, but yeah, definitely a very spiritual feel to it, I like that it has a romantic quality to it, but it also looks at your heart and the use of gifts. Like, you know, to me, what the main thing that this really speaks on and the few lines that it has is the idea that if you have a gift, if you have the gift of singing, the gift to write poetry, whatever you have the desire to do or you have a talent for doing, use it. You know, don't hold it back. And, you know, and use it for the good of life, you know. So really just a wonderful brevity and very well done.
Where do we go?
Where do we go now? All right. Up next, we have COVID This Christmas by Lockdown Lark, which is a parody of the song Lonely This Christmas, which I do not know, but hopefully you do. And if not, just give it a read.
I don't either, but I'll fake it. COVID This Christmas by Lockdown Larks. It'll be COVID this Christmas unless you sanitize. It'll be COVID this Christmas unless you are wise. If you get near, it could be a COVID New Year this Christmas. No matter if there are rules, the virus can still make us look fools this Christmas. The thing is, you might be an asymptomatic you can't see, that in giving a bug, you could be transmitting the bug this Christmas. It's not governments who transmit, it's you and me who can give it. So the thing we all must do is think what is important to you this Christmas. Would you kiss loved ones Christmas Day if you knew they would then fade away? No need to hear a voice. Reduce risk in your choice this Christmas. Take the pain now. It will pass. All right. What you got?
All right. Sorry. As I was listening to you read, I was looking up the original song to see how close you were. But I have to say.
Oh, I got it. I don't know the song, so.
Yeah, well. I did like that you sung it, though. I thought that was really cool. And you did a great job of fake it until you make it. So very cool there. I really like this. I didn't know the original song, but, you know, it still, you know, had a really nice flow to it. I like how that the lines that say the thing is you might be an asymptomatic. I like the use of the word asymptomatic. That's not a word you see in a poem every day, especially a parody. Who can't see that in giving a hug you could be transmitting the bug this Christmas time. I thought this Christmas time was a great use of a repeat phrase. So very, very cool brevity. Very well done and great singing there, Rex.
Oh, where is it? It disappeared. Yes, it disappeared and I had to bring it back.
Aha.
Well, it does send out a message to those who are, say, a little anxious, which is the warning that rolls through this. So you take everything as it comes. If you're worried about things, you know what? You can sit back and not worry about it by staying away or not indulging in the moment or within the season because of that fear. You can respect those who actually walk this way too. So it's a matter of giving those who angle on this their space so they don't have to worry about any fears, because right now everybody's doing the transmission. So it doesn't matter. Whether you've had the shots, not had the shots, or anything else, it does seem to be something that is destined to roll its way until herd immunity is actually achieved. And that comes with, like it is, you know, you're going to get it, just like a common cold, the flu, or anything else, and then it's just going to fade into our psyche as something that recurs every year, just like the damn flu.
Yep. And but you're right, Rex. And also, you know, like you said, we just can kind of respect how people feel, and you know, respect that if people don't want that hug. And personally, honestly, when it comes to hugging, I'm usually one of those people who are pretty happy not to hug anybody, unless I know them really well. So, you know. And, great comment there. All right. And up next, we have Magic Tree Boat by Michael McDermott. And it goes like this. Snowmas, a season to slip out, slide around to your spirit den, some place where you can chill, engage with other merry men. Later, when it comes that time for gin-soaked Santa to return, just overcome your reluctance. Put on your happy holiday face and ride a magic snow sleigh poem. You okay? And poem.
Great read there, Pam. Let me see, what was it? Slide around to your spirit den? Boy, that had me thinking of Al Bundy and their no man meetings in the garage. Oh, that was funny. Especially when he hit the gin soaked Santa's return, just overcome your reluctance, put on your happy holiday face, I write a magic snow sleigh poem. There's a bit of fun in this.
There really was. And, I felt like after I got done reading it, I'm like, man, I really wish I could have done a Jamaican accent, you know, because I really felt like this could have been really great in a Jamaican accent. You know, it actually, you know what it made me think of is the song, not the song, the movie Sled Dogs. Not Sled Dogs. No, what was the one? Not Sled Dogs. Oh, man, which one? Do you remember the movie that came out about the Jamaican bobsled team?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's actually a true story.
Yes, I know. I thought that was so funny, and that's kind of like, there's this whole idea of just it has that Jamaican tone to it, you know. I really liked later when it comes that time for gin soaked Santa to return, just overcome your reluctance, put on your happy holiday face and ride a magic snow sleigh poem. I would say somebody definitely had a happy holiday. So very clever, right? All right, let me open another tab here, and and what do we got next? Did I grab the next poem? That's a good question. I probably did not. Nope. All right, let me go ahead and grab the next poem, which, by the way, will be a parody. And after this parody, there's only one more left, which will be my poem that I'll read. If at any point you're able to or want to grab a poem, Rex, go for it. Otherwise, you'll be listening to me read my poetry. So, all right. Up next, we have I Saw Daddy Kissing Santa Claus, a parody by Dammit Dave. And Go for it, Rex.
I don't know this one. Damn.
I saw mommy.
See, hang on a second.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus by Damn It Dave. I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus right beside our Christmas tree last night. They didn't see me there witnessing their bold affair. They thought that I was in bed, not hid behind a chair. Then I saw Daddy fondle Santa Claus. I heed as I know that wasn't right. Oh, what a scene there would have been if Mama had only seen Daddy kissing Santa Claus last night. And Paul.
Great read, Rex. Yeah, this was some clever Christmas humor, and I can just imagine that would have been quite the scene. Like, I kind of imagine, like, wine bottles being thrown and such. It was definitely a different twist on the whole I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus song. And then, great use of the word fondle. And just another spot-on parody. A fun night of parodies. So, very well done.
Yep, and this is definitely a twist on the old one. Ah, yes. Chopping Santa's chimney. Yeah, that would kind of give the little kids something to actually, I can't erase that from my brain. I can't wash it out with soap. Please don't let me see that again.
Oh, my goodness. Exactly. Yep. Something...
Hey, what the hell?
She wants your attention.
Yeah, not with friggin' teeth that she ain't getting my attention except a smack upside the head.
Okay, note to self, no biting Rex.
Well,
all
right. You blood, you miserable cow.
Oh, dear. Must be a full moon. She's drawing blood. I should plug in my Kindle Fire and let it start charging. All right. You ready for the next poem?
Yep.
All right. This was actually the poem I wrote for the same contest that Sonia's parody was written for, the one that Rich F. ran last year. And I know people have heard it before. Not technically inspired by Christmas music, but close enough. All right, and this is Christmas Time is Over, and it goes like this. Christmas time is over, Santa's a miserable old man, for it seems the holidays did not go quite as planned. The year was extra busy, and Santa needed help. He told his second in command, please send out a Yelp. So Rudolph put in an ad in the North Pole circulation, looking for some workers to man each and every station. But when it came to school, spelling wasn't his best grade, and the day of hiring became a rhinestone-filled parade. Elvis impersonators were standing in a long and winding row to prove when it comes to making gifts, they were always in the know. Santa was in a pickle. He didn't know what to do. Instead of elves with pointy shoes, there was a line with pointy ears, there was a line of blue suede shoes. Desperate measures are called for in frantic, desperate times. Besides, thought Santa, hiring Elvis surely ain't a crime. He put all them Elvises to work, told them to be quick. Stop slicking back your hair, stop gyrating your hips. But the Elvises kept singing to stuffed hound dogs, teddy bears. Every time they started crooning, Mrs. Claus would throw her underwear. all this chaotic Christmas confusion kept Saint Nick in a lumpus rage, for everywhere he turned his head, there was an Elvis on the stage. Unlike elves who worked for sweets at every toy-making station, Elvis impersonators demanded fair wage and 3 weeks paid vacation. Santa was a fair employee, but he had to take a stand when hourly fried sandwich breaks became a part of their demands. End poem.
Great read, Pam, and ho, ho, ho. One Elvis in the house is a pleasure to have, but 50 of them, definitely not a good thing to do. Because there ain't nothing going on except the hound dog swimming. And, yeah, having granny panties thrown on stage everywhere is not quite the euphemous thought to a good time.
Exactly. All right.
All right, what?
So, do you got something you want to read? Otherwise,
I guess
you can sing my parody. What's that?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Well, since you're already of the notion of wanting to be done with Christmas music and all that stuff, I got one that works on that level.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right. The 12 Days of Hellmas. On the first day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me a gargoyle on a church eve. On the second day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me two horned beasts and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the third day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me two horned beasts and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the fourth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me four shrilling crowns, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the fifth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me five rancid things, four shrilling crowns, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the sixth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me six corpses creeping, five rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the seventh day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me seven boils a-bursting, six corpses a-creeping, five rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the eighth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me eight ghouls a-grimacing, seven boils a-bursting, six corpses creeping, five rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the ninth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me nine succubi a-shrieking, eight fools a-grimacing, seven boils a-bursting, six corpses creeping, five rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the tenth day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me ten sirens singing, nine succubi shrieking, eight ghouls a-grimacing, seven boils a-bursting, six corpses creeping, five rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the 11th day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me 11 bastards burning, 10 sirens singing, 9 succubi a-shrieking, 8 ghouls a-grimacing, 7 boils a-bursting, 6 corpses creeping, 5 rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. On the 12th day of Hellmas, my demon gave to me 12 malodorous musings, 11 bastards burning, 10 sirens singing, 9 succubi shrieking, 8 ghouls a-grimacing, 7 boils a-bursting, 6 corpses creeping, 5 rancid things, four shrilling crones, three French tickles, two horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a Church Eve.
Oh, that was so awesome, Rex. I have to say, I can see why you won gold on that. I had to put that on my, pin that to one of my lists of for amazing rights. You know, the thing with parodies is, you know, you just, if you're even just a syllable off, it doesn't work. And to be able to consistently hold the flow of a parody for such an epic song works really well. Now, is Hellmass, is that something you made up, or is that like an actual holiday?
Oh, it might be something that's celebrated. I don't know.
I don't know.
It is 12 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? It's one of those, and I'm glad you brought it back out, because it's got everything a good parody should have. It's spot on in its flow. It's got great dark humor. I like that you bring us through the 12 days of Hell Mass, and I like that you replaced my lover to my demon gave to me 4 shrilling crones, 3 French ticklers, 2 horned beasts, and a gargoyle on a church eve. Now, I have to say, that actually sounds like a great Christmas party to me. I like, though, when you get to the end part, where you have, like, I like the 9 succubi a-shrieking, 8 ghouls a-grimacing, 7 boils a-bursting, 6 corpses creeping. You know, within those lines, you have some really great alliteration. I have to say, Rex, that I just think, this just brought a smile to my face, and I very much enjoyed it. So. Very cool.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah.
You're welcome.
12 years, geez.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. It's
what do you got for Tuesday?
Well, for Tuesday, Naomi is running a contest that might already be closed, but, you know, you can check it out. It's the topic is pop art. She's provided a variety of pop art from different artists that range from, I believe, the 1950s to the year 2000. Like, there's like 25 or 35 different prompts to choose from. You just want me to go through some of the other shows that are happening?
Sure.
Okay. So, of course, make sure everyone to check out the contest and the topic boards put up by our hosts and hostesses. We should have a show a half hour from now, but I'm not sure if that's happening. Check back and see. I don't see a topic board up, but
no, I don't either.
Yeah. But like I said, always keep an eye out on the contests and topic boards that our hosts and hostesses have going on in Late Night Poets. For the next After Midnight show, there's no contest. We will be doing carryovers from Angry at the Sun by Robinson Jeffers, and Art is Exorcism, a quote by Otto Dix. Break On Through will be on January 31st, will be Surrealism and Dadaism inspired rights. I am running a contest for Wednesday's Art of Seduction, which the theme is winter fantasy. And I'm not sure really what's going on for the rest of the shows, but of course there's always something for everybody's taste. Are you like washing dishes? Like are you washing dishes or dragging a body through the forest? What do you got going on?
Nah, she can't want the food.
Oh. Oh my goodness. And another, I do have a couple more contests that I'd like to mention. Well, one for sure. For the next Dark Show on the 7th, I'm running a contest for our seriality series that has to do with the topic of family annihilators. Anyways, like I said, just check everything out because you're sure to find something to inspire. And great show tonight, Rex. Lots of smiles, lots of laughs, I think your song, your parody there was just a great way to end it.
Yeah, it's all right, although it does bite at Christmas a bit.
It does. I like that.
All right, until next Sunday, then we'll do a little bit more. All right, gang, good night, have fun, and don't let the bed bugs bite.
Absolutely. I'll bite them back. That's what I always do. All right.
Sure,
good night, everyone.
Protein's good.
Exactly. Good night.
Good night, everybody.